A very important conversation about to take place. The Sonoma Developmental Center has been a part of our community for, wow, over a century, and it will close at the end of this year. And Susan Gorin, First District Supervisor, covers that particular territory, among others. Good morning, Susan. Glad to have you back.
Good morning. It is great to be here on this beautiful, almost summer day.
Yeah, it's picture perfect today. Absolutely. And we're talking about a piece of land that has much, much history to it. The Developmental Center, of course, first in your mind and in the minds of everyone in the community, is making sure that the remaining residents have found homes. Where do we stand there?
The community placement is on track, the state assures us, and each of the residents will be placed within a community care home, maybe 4 to 5 people. I've toured some of the homes in Santa Rosa. They're beautifully remodeled for individuals with physical challenges, so the halls are widened, the bathroom doors are widened, and beautiful areas for them to just sit and relax as well as receive the care that they need. And so I think that is going to go very well. Many of the residents at the site are medically fragile, and they've tried to group the friends together, and it seems to be successful. Remember, this is not just Sonoma County. They're being placed in care homes in Napa, Solano, East Bay, in the peninsula. The more challenging population are those folks that are behaviorally challenged, that are disruptive and acting out when they are faced with new situations that are unfamiliar with them. And quite frankly, that's the population, that's the client base that I am most concerned about. And we are continuing to advocate for crisis stabilization centers. There's going to be one constructed, or crisis care home constructed, in a couple of the counties. I don't think that's sufficient, because the one on the site, it has 5 beds and a waiting list of 20.
Wow.
And we know from our own crisis stabilization unit, not designed to handle the needs of the regional center clients, that they are being entered into our crisis stabilization and staying much longer than what it was meant to be designed for. So that's one issue, and we will continue to advocate for additional crisis care homes so that those folks experiencing crisis in the community can find a stable place to stabilize their behaviors and their conditions and their medications. And that's sort of I knew that this was going to be an issue, and we've been advocating for continuation of care on the site for this reason. But I think that is not to be, at least immediately.
Yeah, that's a challenge, the biggest challenge, and the first most immediate challenge. And then, of course, what to do with the land. It is a remarkable piece of property, and I know you've held several community meetings on this issue. What are you hearing from people? What does the community want to do with that property?
First, we should set the stage. There were a number of community groups who knew about the spectacular natural resource values on the site. In fact, many people can access the trails of the Upper Reach through Jack London State Park,
yeah,
and the Sonoma Mountain Trail at the top, and walking around the reservoir. And so that's pretty much the community and the residents and the employees know how valuable that land is as a therapeutic and a therapeutic place, as well as a place of recreation and peace and solitude. So it's been the goal of this ever-expanding coalition for the past five years to advocate for the preservation and open it up to public access. And we may get there, but it's complex.
Well, you know, ever-expanding opinions that you are gathering means sometimes that there are just too many cooks in the kitchen, and it's difficult to narrow it down to a particular, you know, route. you know, what's going to happen there in the future.
Well, I do think the consensus of almost everybody is that they want that undeveloped land to be placed within the state park and the regional park system. Both of those parks are adjacent to that land, and it's a natural fit and management and ease of management and operation. Everybody should know that the community separator measure that they supported last year does include almost all of that undeveloped land. So according to the general plan, none of that land will be able to have intensification of use. So let's not think about houses and resorts.
We all think about houses now, but this is a separate entity.
But we always knew that the real key piece of this puzzle, and it is a puzzle, is the center portion, the campus that everybody drives through and says, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Until you look at the buildings and you say, oh, how old are those buildings? Well, they're really old. And the site assessment team was hired by the state to analyze all of the conditions on the campus. Let the buyer beware, anybody who wants to develop and or buy or lease land there, that it will be a challenge moving forward. That campus is about 250 acres, which seems large, but when you start talking about the potential uses and reuses on that campus, it doesn't go very far.
Well, we look at that building primarily, you know, even just the administration building, the main one that you see at the main entrance, and we think, oh my God, that must be preserved.
Well, there are two buildings on the site. That one, the iconic brick building, which actually may be the former administration center, but it's been boarded up for decades. It's
yeah.
a beautiful brick building, seismically unsafe, and money pit comes to mind.
yeah, that's the reality of it. I mean, we might want to do something of an historic nature about it, but the reality is that what it would take to accomplish that, my goodness.
But that particular building and another one is located on the National Historic Registry of Buildings. So anybody who contemplates just taking a bulldozer to it will probably be met with frustration. The other buildings, many of them are charming and could be considered for historic preservation use and reuse, and I think that some of them probably will be. I would advocate keeping a number of the charming buildings. But there are some, including some where the residents currently reside, that have some toxic issues and certainly need some code upgrades. Some of them have been retrofitted with sprinklers, et cetera. But I think people are saying, oh, what? I think the more interesting conversation could be, what kind of community do we want to see develop there? Glen Ellen Forum has been very front center and suggesting to everybody that this campus has been in the middle of Glen Ellen for 100 years.
Yep.
And they want to assure the folks in Glen Ellen and Sonoma Valley that any development on the site should be maintained within the scope and quality and character of Glen Ellen. And so I think that is the how do we finance the infrastructure upgrades, new buildings, and yet keep it consistent with the charming character of Glen Ellen.
Oh, is that all? Well, why isn't that done already? I mean, come on.
Right. Easy peasy. One reason is that we've been trying to have this discussion with the state for the last couple of years, and the state has been resistant to any discussion about the future reuse of the land until the residents are safely placed in the community and the center closed down. It's very expensive to maintain, even in a warm shutdown. We think $8 to maybe $20 million a year in holding costs because the utilities have to be kept on and security and lots of other things. So that's the most immediate piece of what happens in the next year. And we've started having discussions about land use planning, and we're advocating for a couple of million dollars to come to the county to hire a consultant team to do the land use planning and the community engagement process to tap into some of those cooks out there that you alluded to previously. What do we want to see happen? And just as importantly, look realistically at the holding costs of the site, which the state obviously wants to just slice immediately.
Yeah.
And the infrastructure upgrades. We have to look at the impacts of the surrounding roads. I'm on one of those very narrow two-lane roads, Arnold Drive.
Oh, yeah.
Through and away from the campus. There's that site, as beautiful as it is, seems spacious, but when you look at the impacts, the surrounding roads cannot handle an intense amount of traffic that might be generated on that site.
All considerations.
Some, but
yep.
not all.
Yep.
Yeah.
Then you always have to talk about infrastructure then, and a conversation we'll be having much discussion about over the next several years. Supervisor Gorin, thank you for being here. This is an ongoing conversation, but I'm happy to be up to speed on what the latest information is. Thanks for that.
Great, and I will check in because it is, every month or two, there's something new happening.
Absolutely. You know, you've always got a microphone here. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye. That is First District Supervisor Susan Gorin, whose territory includes the current Sonoma Developmental Center. What will happen at the end of this year moving forward? We'll keep you posted on that situation.